Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
I'm going to start with the word. Everybody ready? And if you're driving, be careful. Fear. Even the word, even if you look at it, like write it down and you look at it, it causes, at least me, an emotional uncomfortableness, if you could say that. And with that, you know, I was thinking about it. I was doing this. I just chose to do this topic today. I think because I see so much of it with my Dream Big clients and within myself. And I think I grew up with it. I think, you know, I was thinking about it on the way to the studio. And one thing that was really, I shouldn't say it's funny, but my parents, if you go in their pantry, they had 20 cans of corn in their pantry at any given time. And I was always like, what is that all about? But it was fear. It's fear-based, fear of running out. And when I think back to my mom, when she grew up, her father was, a maintenance man, and they lived in a laboratory basement. They didn't have a lot of money, and she was so fearful of mice by the time she had us. I mean, to the point that she would cry and like run up the stairs, and I was like, man, what is that from? And she told us it was when she was little that she could hear the mice running through the pipes, and it scared her as a little girl. So to this day, she's petrified of mice. I mean, seriously, when you think about a mouse or a spider, they really aren't interested in you. They really, it's not like they look at you and go, man, I'm coming to get you. You know, they're probably more scared of us than we are of them. And they really don't have a purpose to bother us. It's not a goal of theirs. So how much of fear is just wasted emotion? Now, I guess, you know, it's like, where do you draw the line? What is fear? So my favorite book, which is like one of my Bibles, is Divine Intuition by Lynn Robinson. And there's a paragraph in here that is a quote. I got to put my glasses on from Richard Carlson. And it says, if you gathered up all of the fearful thoughts that exist in the mind of the average person, looked at them objectively, and tried to decide just how much good they provided that person, you would see that not some, but all fearful thoughts are useless. They do no good. Zero. They interfere with dreams, hopes, desires, and progress. Wow. That's pretty deep if you think about it. So how much of fear is just an imagination? You know, I don't know about you guys, but I was never fearful of heights. I was fine. Kid, you know, climbed trees. You name it, I wasn't fearful. And then one day on my honeymoon, we were climbing these stairs to go, I don't even know what it was, a lighthouse. And I get to the top and all of a sudden I'm scared to death and I can't move. I literally freeze and I'm like, I don't even know what's happening to me. And I was so scared of heights to this day. Now I have that same issue. How much is physical? How much fear is mental? Now, do we say that we should be fearful when we drive into a bad neighborhood and you're scared? Is there a difference between fear and intuition? You know, like when you have that gut feeling that something's not right, should you listen to that? Is there fear? Like, for example, how many times does fear ruin your plans? Think about that. I was at my cottage. I couldn't wait to be at my cottage. It was this cute little place that my grandfather built. with a bunch of my uncles, and my dad even helped when, from the time he was 8 years old. It's on this little lake, and it's in a developed city, I guess you could say. It wasn't developed when we first used to go there as kids, but I decided to go last year, and I was so excited that I could actually have the place to myself. Well, then guess who ruined the whole thing? I did. Because all of a sudden, I thought of every Friday the 13th movie, every little thing. I kept my dog so close to me, she couldn't even breathe. And the air conditioner kept making this thumping noise. So the entire week, I had no sleep. And it was just fear. And I knew that I was developing it. I knew it was in my imagination. So how much of fear is keeping you from different things? I know my sister used to have fear of driving on freeways. When that developed, I have no idea. But all of a sudden, she just couldn't drive on freeways anymore. She got a job offer. And it was like an hour away if she didn't take a freeway. If she took a freeway, it was like 15 minutes. But she could not. Or one of my bandmates couldn't drive over a bridge. Drove over bridges a million times. Mackinac Bridge, you name it. And all of a sudden, he got to be in his 50s and he couldn't drive over a bridge anymore. He had to actually hire someone. So when do these things develop? And is there a way for us to control them? I know for me, when I wake up in the morning and if I fear my day is going to feel long. It's going to be exhausting. When I fear the unknown, that could stop me. It literally could stop me from doing or finding an opportunity for something. So we're going to pull Remy in here and find out. Rem, what is like one of the earliest, now he doesn't even know this question's coming, one of the earliest times that you can remember fear, but not based on anything that happened to you, if you know what I mean?
Well, being like scared of the clothes hanging in your closet in dark when you're a little kid, you know, you're in bed and the closet door is open and it's just clothes hanging in there, but it looks like spooky monsters or
right.
something.
Do you think
it's the shadows?
Yeah. And do you think that came from, you know, just your mind, like laying in bed at night, or did it come from like a movie you saw or, you know, something like that?
Probably. I don't know. It's weird because, you know, it's all in your imagination, but it's, you know, you're exposed to some. I grew up in the early 70s, so there's a lot of TV watching going on and stuff
right.
like that. I was never a fan of horror movies, so I never watched a bunch of those. Didn't come from anything like that. But I think it's like a fear of the unknown, and it's
a strength of imagination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, is it a survival instinct from like hundreds of thousands of years ago? I don't know.
Maybe. That could be.
Maybe,
that could
you know,
be very,
seeing
very...
thing, you know, you don't see as well as animals do in the dark. So,
right.
you know, you get that heightened sense of like, oh, I should be on alert. But I used to, when I was a kid, I used to have a fear of heights. And when I was real little, I almost died falling off of one of those curvy slides, you know, the big corkscrew slide. I was about two or three, and my dad let me go up by myself and went around to catch me at the bottom. And I decided to turn back then, they were metal in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So I turned around and was, I changed my mind and was walking back down, and I fell, and he ran around and caught me at the, he just had this instinct, this flash of like, something's not right. He should have been down by now. He ran around and caught me before I hit the metal steps, like
wow.
head first. So I think like I got like a little fear of heights from that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to the Sears Tower in Chicago.
Oh my God.
And
now
you go
that
all the way up to the
out.
Top and it's like, there's the glass.
Yeah.
And I leaned against the glass until the butterflies left my stomach and just like pressed my face against the glass.
So
like I overcame.
What
I was like
amazes
12,
me you know? Though is that fear is not only mental but physical. So when you think about it, you do get those butterflies. When I'm scared of heights, when I've gotten too far, I mean, my husband and I were painting our house and I could only go up to the third rung of the ladder. And so my poor house, it was 16 feet ceilings. And it, you know, if you could tell which walls I painted. And he's like, I don't understand. You're already up on the ladder. I'm like, I don't understand either. But literally the room starts spinning. So I'm no doctor. I don't understand why that happens. And I know my father was the same way. And here he was, this big guy, and he was so scared of heights. So it's to me, it's like, and it goes, I guess what I wrestle with is that it's kind of like black and white to me sometimes, feelings. You know, if you can really make them black and white, what is real? Like, what is real and what isn't? There's this book, and I can't remember what it is. I was trying to remember what the name of it was. But I was reading it the other day, and it really messed with my mind. Mm-hmm. It was saying that you have these voices in your head. And at times, I hear, like, a couple people talking, you know, like, one answers the other kind of thing. And this book is saying none of it's real. And so it's like, how do you develop a thought process or a way of being? And so that was another thing I read, is that once you get beyond, you know, what your what those voices in your head are saying, you can actually get to the point where you're just in the moment and you're allowing the moment to happen without the thought process. And I'm like, that sounds like a lot of work. But if you do it, all of a sudden it's not scary because you're kind of sitting and observing. So you're not afraid of the outcome. You're observing the outcome. Does it make sense?
It does. Well, yeah. And it goes back to my story about the Sears Tower, is I knew that I had this weird feeling in my stomach anytime, you know, we had been to Niagara Falls and I took that big elevator that goes up in the lookout tower and stuff. And I was, you know, get the weird feeling in your stomach where you can't go close to the edge and stuff.
Right.
And I didn't like it. I didn't like roller coasters. I didn't like any of that stuff. But I wanted to. And so I distinctly remember I was about 12 years old and I was at the Sears Tower and I was like, I'm going to beat this thing. There's nothing wrong. This glass is not going to fall out. I'm not going to fall to my death.
Of all
this
things, building, like, I'm dizzy hearing,
you know,
this story.
But this building's been here forever.
Forever.
I trust the engineers that built it. I trust that they wouldn't put glass in here that would give way. How could they? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously it's safe. And I pressed myself against the glass until the butterflies went away. And from that point out, like, I've done some really dumb stuff too. Like, yeah, like being on the 10th floor of a building that had an old billboard.
Oh,
like,
no.
just like, not the old, not the billboard was gone, but it was like the skeleton of the billboard, like what you would hang a billboard on.
Yeah.
And I would hang out on this and, like, 1 foot hanging on with one.
Okay, where did that guy go that was afraid of heights if you were doing that?
Again.
When was that? Like,
so that was
older?
In my late 20s or 30s.
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
So basically what you're saying is that we can all overcome. We can really overcome. It's like a fear of flying. You know, I don't know if I ever did. My dad was really fearful of flying and literally used to have to, like, you know, take Valium and drink champagne. And it was always very entertaining to be with him on the plane, actually. But for me, it was like, I always wondered, why am I so calm? I'm fine flying a plane. I mean, not flying a plane, but sitting in a plane, letting some stranger drive me around the country, you know, fly me around the country. So it's like, where do we get these weird things? And, you know, a lot of times with my clients, when they come in and we sit down and we talk about, you know, let's approach your purpose. Let's talk about it. What do you think? You know, and they don't want to tell you. And I literally had one client, I think I've said it before on the air, that she literally was so afraid to tell me what her passion and her dream was that she had to physically get up and walk around the room in circles before she could get honest with me about, you know, her deep-rooted feelings. And I asked her, you know, I said, it's fine. You can walk around the room. We can go for a walk outside if you want. But it was fear of being judged. Mm-hmm. And it was fear of letting your secret out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always curious to find out what people's fears are. Now, I know some people who just seem totally fearless. But when you see, for example, an angry person, you know, someone who seems really volatile or, you know, just super angry, I always, like, look a little deeper in that because I'm like, he's scared or she's scared of something.
Yeah.
If she's brought from 0 to 10 that quickly. And who knows what the fear may be. It may be fear of being found out that she has fear, or fear of just being a failure. I mean, we're all, for some reason, scared of failure. And to me, it's like failure is, I think it's an awesome lesson. I do. You know, we can have failure. And I think the only thing with failure is if you don't get back up and try again.
Yeah.
That would be a fear of mine. I think.
Well, yeah. And I think it's not with some people, if you're talking about like chasing down their dream, chasing down whatever their goal is in life, finding out what their true purpose is, it's not necessarily the fear that they will fail. It's the fear that they'll fail and then not try again.
Right.
And they'll just
so they're like, already putting that in front of it.
Yeah.
Like, and just really botching it up.
That one and done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you meet, you know, when you think of how many people are fear, I was going through it in my head, like fear of loving. Fear of not being loved. So people who usually are afraid of not being loved will not go out and try and have a relationship. The fear of not being accepted, they make sure they push everybody away, and then they sit there and wonder why they're not happy. I've always found that, but and we're quick to judge. I mean, I can say, you know, you can look at something and go, well, why aren't you, you know, why don't you go out with this person? Why don't you do this? Not even going that much further to realize that fear is paralyzing them. And fear can be so paralyzing. I mean, just like being afraid of heights, you know, fear of trying a new job, fear of, you know, going to another country, fear of, you know, just so many things. I am lucky that I don't have a lot of fear in those cases, but like tomorrow I leave for a trip that I was planning on and some things didn't, you know, pan out what was supposed to happen. So I am wrestling. Okay, what's going to happen? Is this a wasted trip? What am I doing? You know, so what are some of the exercises you do? I mean, obviously with the, you know, fear of heights thing, you worked your way through it on an emotional level. So that was physical somewhat.
Yeah.
So even though you're using your emotions, but from an emotional thing where we can get so dark and so deep into it, do you have a technique for your own fear?
No.
Good answer. I am so glad you said that.
Because
and I'm not kidding. I wanted to say no.
Honestly, you know, when you were talking about relationships and love, like I was about to raise my hand, like, yep, that's me. I'm scared of another relationship.
Right.
100%.
And so, okay, so can we just kind of go into that for example, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are in the same situation. I know for me, before I met my husband, you know, actually when I met him, first thing I did is I told him, I put my hand on my hip and I'm like, you know, I don't need you. I'll never need you. I may want you, but I won't need you. And what you see is what you get. And so don't expect more from me. I mean, I laid this on him when he asked me for a cup of coffee.
Nice.
I know, right?
Nice. Like first date.
It wasn't even a date. It was before we even went out. So what was I doing there? That fear was screaming while I was acting all tough and everything. I was like a petrified child going, don't hurt me. So what do you do with your fear? Do you push everybody away? Do you just not welcome it? Do you not look for it? You know, what is that?
I think the last couple of years, I just haven't been looking for it really.
Right.
I'm, you know, it's like farthest thing from my mind. It's, you know, not that I don't, you know, occasionally go out on a date or have, you know, friends, whatever, but I definitely not anything like serious romantic, like,
so let's
just completely off the radar kind of thing.
Let's dive into what would be the worst thing that could happen if you fell in love with someone again.
The worst thing that could happen if I were to fall in love, well, that it doesn't work out and you end up screaming and fighting and not liking each other, and you know, you'd invest 10 years of your life with somebody and then end up like going, God, I hated them from day one. Like, what was I thinking? They're not even my type.
But the way I see, okay, so that you say that, but the way I look at it is, you know, we can look at past relationships. I'm sure we can all list a few, unless you're one of those people, like one of my friends who's only been with one man her whole life.
Married their high school sweetheart.
Yeah,
those and people are lucky.
They are. They don't have that damage, you know, of having your heart broken and stomped on and, you know, you questioning your own worth and all that. But I feel like on that note, let's flip it. Because of the things that have happened to us, we are different people, right?
Absolutely.
And we react differently now. And we also found out what we're made of through the pain of it all.
Well, not only that, but you realize a lot about yourself that it's like,
that's what I'm saying.
It takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't the only toxic person in that relationship.
I see what you're saying. Sorry, I missed that part.
I brought a ton of toxic baggage with me as well.
Right.
And so it kind of helps you to grow and release some of that stuff and go, you know what?
If you're looking.
See,
if you're looking at it.
Yeah, you got to look at it.
Because not everybody does.
The relationship didn't work out because one person was a jerk.
Right.
A lot of times there's jerks out there.
Yeah.
But please, it takes two to tango. You both like put in toxic stuff. You both got toxic stuff out. So
it helps
to learn about yourself. And
the bottom
other people.
Line is, it might just not have been the right person.
I mean,
that's the way I look at it too. It's like, you know, I remember right before I met my husband, this guy that I thought for sure was it. You know, the whole time, if you asked me during that time, really, Jill, I mean, my gut was screaming at me, get out. Just screaming, but I was just like trying to make this thing work that wasn't supposed to work.
Isn't it funny how we put on those blinders, those rose-colored glasses to look at somebody, and you're like, oh, they're so beautiful. You take the glasses off. A couple years later, you're like, oh, God, why
what
didn't
was
somebody
I thinking?
Slap me?
And, you know, when you look at it, too, is that that's, again, where you can learn so much about yourself. It's like, why did I do that? I had this like mind that I was going to have this security with this person, and I was going to design it in such a way that it was just what I needed, but it wasn't. And what was great about it is because that I was so heartbroken from it, that I learned that I really liked who I was on my own. And I wouldn't have figured that out had I not gone through that pain.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be ready for the relationship that I'm in now. But so
many lessons.
So
There's
many lessons.
So much good stuff out there. And you know the one girl who's always like, oh my God, I always go for Mr. Wrong. I always chase after this bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy who looks really good, but you know there's got a million red flags. And I'm just like, you know, a new relationship every couple of months with another guy like this, and everybody around her just rolls her eyes and goes, mm-hmm. honey, when are you gonna wake up and realize? Well, she's learning something about herself, that it's like, just because you're attracted to somebody who looks like this and acts like this and whatever, like, if you can grow from it, then you'll come out good on the other side. So it's a lesson.
It is all lessons. And that's the whole thing. So getting back to the exact word of fear is that if there's fear involved, maybe take a step back. What are you afraid of? Ask yourself that. What is causing your stomach to do flip-flops? Is it because you're standing on the edge of a plane and just about to jump out? That I can understand. That seems real fear to me. I could get that. But is it about getting into a new relationship, finding a different job, all of these things? Go back in your life. If you're at a point right now and you're scared of something and something is keeping you from doing something, go back in your life and look to see when you had that feeling before, and then see what the result was from it. Did you act on it? Did you hide from whatever you were fearful of, or did you barrel through it? You know, I heard this thing that fear is, it was at a seminar I went to, and it said, fear is the only thing that gets smaller as you get closer to it and get through it. And I was like, I love that. I am so going to use that. So think about it. You can build this huge, huge idea of what you're scared of. Our minds are so powerful. Oh my gosh, they're so powerful. So what I try to do sometimes is split my mind down the middle. The good is over to the right. The bad is over to the left. And I make sure that I look at that bad and say, okay, is this stuff real? Is this real? And is it serving any purpose? Is fear serving purpose? Now, if you're going to cross the street and there's 700 cars coming at you and you're a little scared, yes, use that. But that's more intuition and that's more brains. Fear is really a wasted emotion, just like guilt. Put the two together in a basket and just send it on their way. You don't need them anymore. Don't be fearful. Everything is an experience and everything's as real as you make it. So it's just as easy to have a beautiful, big idea that's lovely, that makes you happy, that you move towards, and leave the fear behind. So how about that? Let's work on that today. And I will work on that as I get on the plane tomorrow morning. I will not be fearful that I'll be late. I will know that everything will work out great and I'll get to where I've got to be. And I know that the world is my oyster and it is waiting. That pearl is waiting for me where I'm going. So whatever you've got planned, just keep your heart open and your mind clear and your eyes wide awake and know that the universe is on your side. God is on your side. Your spiritual, whatever you believe, is on your side. We're here to succeed. Keep dreaming big. Thanks for tuning in.